Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling a problem that I think everyone in education, and honestly, anyone who's ever tried to learn something online, has just slammed into. It's what I call the text trap.
The text trap. Okay, that sounds pretty ominous.
It feels ominous when you're stuck in it. I mean, we have these incredible learning platforms, right? The tech is amazing. But then you click into the actual content, and what is it?
It's a PDF.
It's always a PDF.
Yeah.
Or just dense, dense text. It feels like we're living in a TikTok and Spotify world. You know, everything's audiovisual and fast, but our learning tools are still stuck in, like, the library stacks of 1995.
That's a great way to put it. It's a huge friction point. We consume information on the go while we're driving, while we're cooking, but we expect knowledge to just sit there statically. The mismatch is huge.
Exactly. And that mismatch is our starting point today. We're looking at two key players trying to fix this. First up, you've got Digication.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in higher ed, you probably know them. They're in over 7,000 institutions. Their whole thing is making learning visible through e-portfolios.
Right. And it's important to say an e-portfolio in their world isn't just a resume. They use this framework called TORI, the taxonomy of reflective inquiry. It's all about getting students to think about how they're learning.
Okay, but here's the twist, and this is why we're doing this deep dive. We're looking at what happens when you combine Digication's mission with a technology called the Auto Content API.
And before your eyes glaze over at the word API, this isn't just another chatbot.
No. The sources we looked at call it a content transformation engine.
And that's a vital distinction. It's not about generating text from a prompt. It's about taking existing stuff, student essays, research, PDFs, and turning it into broadcast quality audio, video, you name it, at scale.
So our mission today is really a big what if. What if Digication uses this API to go from making learning visible to, say, making learning multisensory? We're talking about automating everything from study aids to portfolio assets.
It's a fundamental shift. You're moving from being a repository, a place you store things, to being a broadcasting engine for every single user.
Okay, let's break that down. I want to start with the students, because that's where the rubber meets the road. Right now, a Digication e-portfolio is, you know, a collection of work, but that's mostly writing.
It is. It's a lot of writing, maybe some slide decks, and it puts all the creation burden on the student. If you want a video, you have to go be a videographer, and most students just aren't.
So this is where the Auto Content API comes in.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading about its transformation engine. Let's say I'm a student. I write a really solid reflection for my portfolio, but let's be honest, who's going to read it?
Your professor?
Maybe. Right. It's static. But with this API, I could upload that text, and the engine, well, it effectively reads it. The sources call it a Notebook LM API alternative.
Hang on, that phrase, Notebook LM alternative, that implies it's doing a lot more than just text-to-speech.
Way more. It's not a robot voice reading your essay. It programmatically generates a whole podcast episode discussing your reflection. It creates a conversation like between two AI agents, a host, and an expert.
Kind of like what we're doing right now.
Exactly like what we're doing. But I have to push back on this. If the API is doing the creative heavy lifting, doesn't that cheat the student out of the learning process?
That's a really fair question, but the argument isn't about replacing the thinking. The student still has to do the hard cognitive work of reflection, the TORI process. The API is just removing the technical friction. It's a translator.
So it translates your academic work into a format someone might actually listen to on their commute.
Precisely. It turns the portfolio from a filing cabinet into a broadcast channel. And that's huge for accessibility.
Yeah, let's talk about that. The learner perspective. Not everyone learns by reading. I certainly don't always.
And this is where it clicks with Digication's mission of inclusion. The API can spit out audio overviews or short explainer videos. So if you're a student who learns better by listening, you get an instant audio version of your own work. It's a game changer.
And I saw a note on language support.
Mm, yes, over 50 languages.
Okay, that's huge.
It's massive. Think about an international student. They write their reflection in English for their class. But with one click, the API creates a version in Mandarin or Spanish or Hindi. Suddenly, they can share their actual university work with their family back home.
Wow. It makes the learning visible to a whole new audience, from just my instructor to literally the world.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's the student side. Let's flip over to the faculty, because their problem is completely different. It's just time.
The faculty burden is so real. I mean, most professors are experts in their field, not in video editing.
And the sources had some wild numbers. If a university wants a professionally produced video or podcast, They need a whole team.
Right. And the costs are just nuts. We're talking hundreds, sometimes thousands of dollars for a single asset. It's not scalable for a professor who wants to keep their course material fresh every week.
So how does the API solve this without, you know, just making things up?
Yeah.
We know academic rigor is everything for Digication. You can't have AI hallucinating facts.
This is where the deep research endpoint is so critical. It's a specific feature designed for this academic setting. It doesn't just predict the next word like a standard chatbot.
I think it's different.
It uses agents to actively browse the live web. So it cross-references claims, it pulls from reputable sources, academic journals, and it provides citations for everything.
So it's fact-checking itself in real time to avoid those hallucinations.
Exactly. But here's the real aha moment for faculty.
Hmm.
They can set up recurring research.
Recurring research. What does that mean?
Okay, imagine you teach a class on AI in education. That field changes daily. Your syllabus is out of date in a month. You could set up a recurring task in the API that says, every 24 hours, scan for new trends in AI in education.
And the system would just generate a briefing for you.
A briefing document, a short audio summary, whatever you want. The professor wakes up, listens to their custom update over coffee, and walks into class completely current without hours of Googling.
That's incredible. And it goes beyond just news, right? I saw something about instructional design.
Oh, yeah. Think about the syllabus.
The dreaded 5-page syllabus that no one reads.
The document everyone ignores. The API can take that dense PDF and generate a 60-second explainer video with an avatar.
I love that. So instead of a student emailing you at midnight asking when the draft is due, they just watch the quick video.
It creates what marketers call mental availability. The information is just easier to find and recall. It's not buried. This isn't just a cool gadget. It dramatically cuts down the professor's admin load. It frees them up to actually teach.
It seems like it shifts their whole role. Okay, I want to zoom out. We've talked students. We've talked teachers. Mm-hmm. What about Digication? As a community, as a business, they create their own content.
And they do, and it's really good stuff. They feature educators like Patrick Green, Sarah Zerhellen, great stories.
But they run into the same problem every small media team does, what the sources call content saturation.
It's the ultimate barrier. It's hard enough to make one great podcast, but to stay relevant on social media today, you need volume. You need to be everywhere, all the time.
So how do they solve that scale problem without hiring a massive media team?
Through a strategy called newsjacking and repurposing, the API can connect to social feeds like X or Reddit and track what's trending in education.
Okay, hold on. Why does an academic platform care what's trending on Twitter? That feels a little trivial.
It sounds trivial, but it's about being part of the conversation right now. If everyone's talking about AI ethics in the classroom, Digication needs to be in that conversation today, not 3 weeks from now.
And the API can trigger that reaction.
Instantly. It can see the trend, find a relevant existing asset like that podcast with Patrick Green, and automatically chop it up into vertical video shorts for TikTok or Reels, complete with an avatar and subtitles.
So they're taking their long-form gold and minting it into short-form currency for social media.
You got it. And the economics are what make it possible. The sources mentioned a cost arbitrage. Making one of these short videos with the API costs about 400 credits.
Which is what, in real money?
It's about 4 euros.
Four euros.
Compare that to the hundreds of dollars it would cost for a human editor to do the same thing. It means Digication can afford to post dozens of high-quality clips a week.
That's a huge difference. You can actually afford to experiment. If a video flops, who cares? You lost 4 euros, not 400.
Exactly. It's creative testing at scale.
Okay, I'm sold on the what. I get the business case. But I need to understand the how. The source material was throwing around terms like API-first architecture and the agentic web. It sounds like sci-fi.
It's simpler than it sounds. API-first just means it's not a website you log into. It's infrastructure. It connects with tools like Zapier or Make.com, so Digication can build it right into their own platform.
So the user, the student, they never even see the words auto-content API.
Never. They just see a new button on their dashboard that says create audio summary. The API does the work in the background. It's a headless operation.
Okay, what about that other one, the agentic web? Break that down for me.
So the API outputs all its content as structured data, specifically JSON. This is really important for where the internet is going.
Which is where?
Towards an internet built for AI agents to read, not just humans. In the near future, you won't Google Digication's teaching philosophy. You'll just ask your personal AI agent that question.
And if DigiCation's content is just locked up in a messy PDF,
your agent can't read it, it gets ignored. But because the API structures all this new content in perfect JSON, it's like putting a sign on it that says, hey, AI, this content is for you. It's clean, organized, and ready to be cited.
So by using this, they're basically future-proofing their entire knowledge base for the next version of the internet.
That's a perfect way to put it.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
But I have to ask the question that I know everyone is thinking about, the voice.
Ah, the robot voice stigma.
Yes. If I'm a student sharing a personal reflection, I don't want to sound like my car's GPS from 2008. It feels so impersonal.
It's a valid concern, but the tech is miles beyond that now. The API uses very advanced voice cloning. The sources describe the voices as natural, steady, and believable.
So a professor could actually clone their own voice?
Yes. They record a few minutes of audio one time. Then they can type out detailed feedback for 50 different students, and the system generates audio feedback for each student in the professor's own voice.
That's a little spooky, isn't it?
It can sound that way, but think about the impact. You maintain that personal touch, the student hears their professor, but you can do it at a scale that was never possible before.
But that raises a huge ethical question. Who controls my voice once it's in the system?
And that's why DigiCation's focus on ethical implementation and faculty control is so important. Because they control the API integration, they get to set the guardrails.
So they can make sure my voice isn't used to see something I didn't actually write.
Exactly. They get the power of the engine, but they keep their hands firmly on the steering wheel.
That balance is crucial. It's using the AI to amplify the human, not replace them.
That's the whole point. It supports human reflection. It doesn't replace it.
So let's bring this all home. We started with this idea of the text trap, knowledge locked away in boring formats.
And we've walked through how this API can let DigiCation decouple great ideas from the constraints of production.
It turns what was a repository into a broadcasting engine for every single user. Every student is a creator. Every professor is a multimedia producer.
And in this economy of attention, that mental availability we talked about is everything. This technology ensures that student work isn't just stored. It's seen, it's heard, and it's experienced.
It's a massive shift. So I want to leave everyone with a final thought to chew on. We know DigiCation is built on Tori, that taxonomy of reflective inquiry. It's all about asking questions.
Right, about interrogating your own learning process.
So if we combine that framework with this auto-content API, could we see a future where the portfolio itself actually interviews the student?
What do you mean?
Imagine you upload your essay draft, and the system, using a cloned voice of your professor, asks you a targeted, reflective question from the Tori framework. Hey, I see you wrote about this concept in paragraph 3. Can you tell me more about why you found that challenging? It records your spoken answer, and that dialogue becomes the reflection.
That completely redefines what homework is. It's not a static document, it's a living conversation.
So is the future of learning a conversation with an AI producer. Something to think about. Thanks for listening to The Deep Dive. We'll see you next time.